Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fiercely as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love.
Thank you, Nick, for leading through the service so well. The theme, I guess, in that hymn that we've just sung is about the Lord Jesus is a living Lord who we can know in our lives and whose power can break through into our lives. And that is part of our theme this morning, that we've been studying through this book of Ephesians for over a year now. And for the last, I guess, autumn onwards, we've been looking at this theme of spiritual armor that God can give us. This is God's power breaking through into our lives through our relationship with him. We can know the Lord in a mighty and a powerful way, the strength that he can give us, the equipment that he can give us in the battles, in the struggles and the difficulties that we face as believers. So we've looked at this armor against the world, against the flesh, that's our fallen, sinful human nature, against the devil. Satan is our main adversary in our lives. And we've looked at the armor. The top three are armor that we are to wear at all times. Truth, righteousness, and peace. This is a settled conviction that we are to have as believers at all times of God's truth, his word, that we can trust it, we can rely on it, we can build our lives on God's truth. Righteousness, that right standing that we have with God. We are at peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice for us. We're in a relationship. We're accepted, we're loved, we're forgiven forever. And that is, we need to know that. We need to be convinced of that. And also that we have peace with God. Not just our relationship, but also that we experience God's peace in our lives. And then there are three items that we are to wear and take up and use in our conflict. The shield of faith. When Satan fires his fiery darts at us, lies, accusations, doubts, fears, we're to immediately, quickly repel them with the truth of God's word. the helmet of salvation. When we go into conflict, we need to have this hope and confidence in God that ultimately, as believers, we're going to win this war, and that we are appointed to eternal salvation. So knowing these things gives us confidence as we go into spiritual battle. And then last week, we looked at the Word of God. And even the power we looked at last week, even the smallest Bible in the world has got incredible power, enabling the Christian church to withstand colossal opposition throughout its history. Ultimately, we're going to conquer over all our enemies. And the Word of God is the greatest force of good in the world, for the reason that it reveals mankind's greatest problem and provides the solution in the Lord Jesus and in his sacrifice for us. Paul concludes his teaching on spiritual armor, highlighting the indispensable role of prayer in spiritual conflict. And I just want to read those verses that Paul makes reference to that. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests for all the saints. So prayer is absolutely essential in spiritual warfare. So it's not enough for us to put on all these various pieces of armor. At all times, in every circumstances, we need to keep on praying. And that's emphasized in that passage we read this morning. Five times prayer is mentioned in just three verses. How important is prayer? And how much we mentioned prayer this morning, how much prayer went on in our service. Prayer is so important in the life of the church. Not any kind of prayer. Paul, God's word, is very specific. Prayer in the Spirit. Prayer that is assisted by the Holy Spirit, prayer that is led by the Holy Spirit and directed by the Holy Spirit. And we read about such prayer in Romans chapter 8. And I just want to read just a verse or two that just explain that to us, how the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts, that's God, knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. The verses we've just read just now reveal some of the difficulties and hindrances that we have in prayer. First of all, our human weakness. Secondly, our lack of awareness and clarity concerning what we need to pray for. And then thirdly, our struggle to express words. In express prayer in words. And a clear example of human weakness in prayer is found in Matthew 26, in the experience of our Lord and some of his disciples a short time before his arrest. And so I just want to read these verses to us. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour, he asked Peter. Watch and pray, so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away a second time and prayed, My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise and let us go. Here comes my betrayer. So in these verses, a number of hindrances to prayer are mentioned. Hindrances, first of all, for Jesus. There were hindrances for Jesus. First of all, sorrows and trouble were overwhelming his heart, his mind, and his spirit. As a result of he was anticipating the cup of judgment he was going to bear on the cross. And such was the burden that he faced, that he felt. He thought, he felt he was going to die. Right? So what do we learn here? That sorrows and troubles which we face in life, pressing in upon our hearts and minds, hinder us from praying. It was a hindrance for Jesus. It's certainly going to be a hindrance for us. Secondly, Christ also felt all alone. He felt his disciples were there, but they weren't really with him in the sense of being a support. They fell asleep, and they repeatedly fell asleep. And that discouraged them to see that. And Christ rebuked them twice, but it made no difference. The disciples' failure discouraged Jesus. And if it discouraged Jesus, it's going to discourage us as well. Discouragements, feelings of loneliness can hinder us from praying as well. But there was hindrances to Christ's disciples. Here we are, Christ's disciples. Hindrances. Number one, physical tiredness and exhaustion overcame them. The same can be true for us. We know that from our experience. Physical tiredness, exhaustion, that can hinder us from praying. And often we know that from our own experience, Satan will work in that way. When you think of praying, you'll feel more tired than if you were focusing to do some other thing. So Satan will work in that area. He knows that we're our human limitations and weakness, so he will exasperate that for us. And then secondly, there was a lack of concentration that hindered them. They weren't able to watch. Well, they watch. They failed to do so. And so can we. Watch and pray. And because we fail to do that, that lack of concentration and focused in the importance of prayer and what we need to pray and how we should pray, then we can, that lack of concentration, we can just switch off and wander away off in our thoughts, and that's a hindrance to us. Let's go back to Christ and his example. Well, Christ faced far greater hindrances, didn't he? But it didn't stop him from praying. And as we reflect on his words, we see real clarity in his prayer. Think how clear this was as a prayer. My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. And later he prays, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. And Christ expressed the same prayer again later. Christ's prayer expressed two desires. First of all, there was a desire for the cup of God's judgment for sin he was soon to face to be taken away if that was at all possible. And then secondly, there was a desire to do the will of the Father. And what we see is that that desire was stronger than the desire for his own preservation. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Christ's prayer, I believe, was a prayer in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit. He was powerfully assisted by the Holy Spirit in his prayer, calming his sorrows. And Christ's prayer was led and directed by the Holy Spirit, enabling him to embrace the will of the Father. And the Holy Spirit can powerfully assist us and lead us in our prayers, helping us to find the right words, helping us in our troubles, our discouragements, our weaknesses, our loneliness, to yield ourselves to God's will being accomplished in our lives. What is wonderful, what is comforting, what is encouraging for us in our prayers is the knowledge that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us on our behalf, expressing the groans that we cannot express in words eloquently to God on our behalf. More than that, praying for us in accordance with God's will. How we need the ministry of the Holy Spirit when it comes to praying. And such a ministry is always available to us. And we need God to open our eyes to the help that we can experience from the Holy Spirit. And may we seek and avail ourselves of the help that he can give us. Ask him as we come to pray to assist us, to lead us in how we should pray, to help us in expressing our hearts to God in prayer, to express what we are unable to put in words to God on our behalf, and to add his own intercession on our behalf in accordance with God's will. And such Holy Spirit praying is not only for emergency prayers, when we're overcome by our troubles, our circumstances, and we find it hard to express our prayers to God. According to verse 18, we are to pray in the Spirit on all occasions, in every kind of prayer, be it adoration, be it confession or thanksgiving or supplication for ourselves or praying for others. All our prayers are to be prayers in the Spirit, prayers assisted by the Spirit, prayers led by God's Spirit. So we see here how important, isn't it, that we need to get to know the Holy Spirit more, to be more aware of his indwelling presence in our lives. We need to converse with him. We need to listen to him. We need to let him direct our lives and to teach us how to pray and teach us from his word more about God's will in our lives. And we need the Holy Spirit to give us the alertness and perseverance that we need, that we lack. In verses 19 and 20, the Holy Spirit directs the church in Ephesus as to how they should pray for the Apostle Paul. There were so many things that the believers could have prayed for Paul. There are many things that could be prayed for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And God reveals what most needed to be prayed for Paul at this time, while he was in prison for the gospel of Jesus Christ. First of all, prayer that Paul would be given words to enable him to fearlessly communicate the gospel, the mystery of the gospel. He was an ambassador in chains, in prison for the Lord Jesus. Secondly, that Paul would be given not only words, but he would be given power to enable him to declare the gospel fearlessly, as he should. What was of utmost importance in the Spirit-led prayers for Paul was that the gospel of Jesus Christ be communicated effectively through Paul and fearlessly through Paul. And this is like the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? The Lord's Prayer that we made reference in that song that we sang. A model prayer for us. The top priority in our prayers is for God's name to be honored through our lives, for God's will to be done in and through our lives. And if that is to be the case, we need to trust in God to provide for all of our needs, to enable us to do that. Needs, whether they are physical, material, and spiritual needs, we can trust in the Lord to provide for us. But how the believers should pray for Paul, it wasn't only expressed by Paul in this letter. Paul was also going to send a dear brother and a faithful servant in the Lord, somebody called Tychicus, for the purpose of informing the believers of how Paul was getting on and what he is doing, and to encourage them. So that's another way that the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us in our prayers, is through the servants that he sends to us, missionaries that come each week. We pray for churches of the week. We pray for missions. And they come and they give reports. Or we can access information online through websites. Ways that the Holy Spirit leads us to pray. This morning we read about Girton. We read about 4-H, specific things that we need to pray. This is the Holy Spirit guiding the churches in the Eastern Baptist Association as we follow through these intercessory prayers and church for the week. It's for us to be informed. And it's the Holy Spirit is leading us through this, how we should pray. And as we come together on a Sunday morning and we share together, our sharing times are for us to be informed, and to the Holy Spirit is leading us how we should pray. You know, that's God is working through his Spirit to lead us in how we should pray together. And then when we come together for our prayer times, we share, and again, God leads us how we should pray and how we should answer, to be the answer to those prayers. So there were some needs mentioned at the church meeting, and God was at work. We were praying about it. And Adebo answered, heard that call. God was at work. His Holy Spirit was at work. So it's important that we see this, not just flesh and blood dimension, but God's at work. God's Spirit is in our midst. So we're to be open to the leading of God's Spirit. And then Paul ends this letter as he began with a blessing. That amazing blessing at the start of this letter. And this is the letter, ends with a blessing. Book ends with a blessing. Peace to the brothers, that they would, God's peace would be experienced in their hearts. For love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We need God's love in our hearts. We need to have that shield of faith, don't we? How important. And then grace to all who love our Lord Jesus with an undying love. What great love the Apostle Paul had for the Lord Jesus. Again, evidence of the Holy Spirit working in his heart, fanning that love into a flame. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And that's the Holy Spirit fans that fervor. What great love had Paul for the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit fanned that fervor and love. And the Holy Spirit is working to that end in our hearts as well. And through that love, the Holy Spirit guides us. Because the summing up of God's will for our lives, if you want to sum it up, it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the summary of the law. And it's love, isn't it? And the Holy Spirit produces that love and seeks to increase that love. And through that love come ideas through God's Spirit about how we can love one another more effectively, and who we should show that love to, not just in the church, but in the community. So love is a powerful thing. Love is so powerful. It impacts our thoughts, our actions. It gets us going and moving and gives us boldness and courage and compassion. And Paul had a great love. He would say that the love of Christ constrains me to do this. And that's what we need in the life of the church, that God's love would fill us and overflow from us. And it's, you know, when that is the case, then it conquers fear, it overcomes inhibitions, and we do things that afterwards, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I said that. I remember years ago at college, I was struggling to witness, to open my mouth and share. And God, in different ways, was leading me to an understanding I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? I needed God's filling. I was dry. I was empty. The Holy Spirit could fill me and empower me in a greater way to be a witness. And I went to a church and I went forward for prayer. And I wasn't really aware of anything happening at that time. But all I know is when I went into college, the next day other people had noticed that something was different. And they were coming up and said, there's something different about you. What is it? And then they were coming up and speaking. There were so many opportunities to witness, to share my faith. More in that week than probably years. And it was just from a dry place. and acknowledging that dryness to God and say, God, will you fill me in a greater way? I need you. I want to be a witness. I'm not able to in myself. And being prayed for with others were praying with me in that. And there was just like an ease, and it was just natural. It wasn't forced or anything. It was just happening naturally. And that is what God wants us to act, to live naturally in the flow of his presence and his leading and guiding in our lives. So we're just connected with his mind and will in our lives.